Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out. People say if you can survive a home renovation, then you can survive anything. Well, Jeremy and I survived two home renovations in 6 months. One when I was about to pop, I was like 7 or 8 months pregnant. And then another one when Ember was 1 month old and during the holidays. So this episode, we're going to talk about the behind the scenes of our home renovation process of our first home, the home renovation that was intentional, and then the one that was not so intentional. We're going to talk about how we did it, what went wrong, what we did wrong, what we're so glad we did, and then just some tips and tricks that we learned along the way. And we hope that this is helpful to you and also probably makes you laugh a little.
I think we should jump right into the story right after our decision to move to Portland. Right? Because that was a big, that's a whole podcast in and of itself, the decision to leave Bend and move to Portland. But yeah, let's jump right into the decision to buy a house, where and what we were looking at, looking for in a house, you know? So I remember we wanted to be north of 26. So where we live, there's a big, massive highway. And for those that know about, you know, the farm, Roloff Farms, that's north of 26 in a little town called Helvetia. And that's kind of where, like, Zach lives. And it's kind of where Audrey's parents live, where the farm is. And it's like our whole ecosystem's up there. So we started by narrowing our search down to a location, I remember. And then once we had, like, an area, we were like, okay, what neighborhood do we want to live in? Where are the good schools? Where's this and that? And we went through quite a few houses, didn't we?
Yeah, we looked for, well, we started looking in the winter, which is just kind of like a dead market. It was just so hard to find.
Oh, yeah, there was not a lot of houses on.
Because we basically decided, like, okay, we always said, like, once we got pregnant, we would move home close to family, close to the farm. And then we, surprise, got pregnant. So yeah, we ended up having to move home, or not have to, but we chose to move home in the winter time when I was about 5 or 6 months pregnant.
Something like that, yeah.
And so, yeah, but we were looking for a few months before we actually found a place just because there was not a lot on the market. So, but yeah, we did. We had some criteria of some things that we wanted in a home.
Yeah, like, and I know I remember wanting a garage. I had to have a garage.
Garage and the flat driveway. That was flat driveway, totally a thing.
Because in Bend,
can't have a steep driveway.
In Bend, we had like a 20-degree driveway.
Really steep.
And it was like loose gravel, so every time you'd get out of the car, you had to like brace for Everest.
Yeah, especially when it was like snowing.
Yeah.
But yeah, in flat driveways, it's just so much more fun, especially we knew that we were had a baby on the way with more kids, just kids play in the flat driveway. Yeah. It's practical.
Yeah, and we actually had a friend of ours was our realtor as well.
Shout out Hannah.
Yeah, that was fun too. It made the whole search like fun because we got to like hang out with her all the time. But yeah, so we ended up, I remember having a lot of trouble, and like I can be kind of somewhat of a perfectionist
or indecisive.
I think it's more being particular. Like
particular,
I just notice everything, and and so there was like little things that would really throw me off. So it took us a while, but then we pulled up to one house, and also our time frame was shrinking. Right?
Remember? Yeah, we got to the point where we were like, okay, it's not going to be, we were never buying our dream home. We're not looking for our forever home. We were just looking for a good home within our budget that fit some criteria, you know, that we could live in for minimum 3 years, but, you know,
probably longer. Yeah, so we pulled up to what is now our house, right?
Mm-hmm. And it was really the first one that we seriously considered.
Yeah, it was the first one we put an offer in. Outside of the one in Bend, we actually put an offer on a house in Bend and we got accepted. And it was a whole thing. We were going to buy a house in Bend. And then the day I was supposed to go hand in the earnest money, I remember having, I think it was the Holy Spirit, I had this feeling in my gut, in my soul, that was just like,
Don't do this.
Yeah, we're not supposed to do this. And so I called and...
That's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, it's a whole different podcast, but I canceled. And
anyways, the first offer.
So this was the first offer when we were looking here in Portland. And I got accepted.
Well, hold on. It wasn't that easy. We went through lots of negotiations.
Yeah, yeah.
There was someone else that was looking at the house. The Portland housing market, for those of you that are listening from different parts of the country, is absolutely insane. I mean, you guys can get on Redfin or
one of
the other
Portland apps
and look at the prices of homes here. They're just crazy. It's like one of the most expensive places in the country, which is just insane. But so it was tough for us to find a house in our budget that, you know, had some criteria. We wanted somewhat of a backyard. We wanted it to be in a safe neighborhood, close to the farm, close to parents, friends. We wanted a cul-de-sac or like a not a super busy street. We didn't want a split level home. We wanted, like, we didn't really care about tri-level or two story, but we wanted, we didn't want the split level thing. What were some other things that we would have loved? We really wanted a wood burning fireplace.
Yeah. We really wanted a wood burning fireplace. So
we wanted also something that was like, I guess this is an important thing to note. We didn't want to buy a brand new home. We wanted a fixer. We wanted something that had character, that was like an older home that we could make be our own, right?
Yeah.
Did you say?
Yeah, I'd say that's right. So back to where we left off in the story, we pulled up to this house and it pretty much had all of that, except, you know, it wasn't the most appealing, but you had to see through a lot of stuff to see its potential. So like, it was cute from the outside, but really overgrown, right?
Mm-hmm. Jungle backyard.
The house looked well kept, but
yeah,
I remember
the front of the house was super
I remember
nice.
Walking
charming.
In. Yeah, it was charming and it was super, super dark. That's the first thing I remember noticing
brown
about our house.
Walls,
yeah, it was
nasty
like
wallpaper.
Brown
everywhere.
Paint. Every single room had like wallpaper in the upstairs. Actually, the whole house did, but then they painted over the wallpaper like a dark brown to sell it, which was really weird. Usually you just paint it white. Yeah, and then there was an overgrown tree in the backyard that blocked.
It was like on the house.
Leaning on the house, blocking the master bedroom, big window, and the living room, big window. So
dark.
No light got
dark.
In. Zero ceiling lights. The kitchen was in like this weird box.
Box, which that was like a huge, for us, like we wanted like open floor plan, as open as we could get, or the ability to make it an open floor plan. And the kitchen was literally like enclosed, which was want, want.
And it was basically, it was a 1968 house, but it was I think it got like some update. Some, you know, 1970s updates, and then it's just been left the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, since then.
It was 70s, for
so,
sure.
But it had good bones, really good bones, great yard, you know, two-story, wood-burning fireplace. The potential was there. And I remember thinking, I'm not going to buy this house if we can't take that wall out. There's one wall.
Yeah, that was like
I
a
really
make-it-or-break-it decision.
Make-it-or-break-it decision. Because if we could take that wall out, we knew we could make it brighter and do a bunch of stuff. But being a two-story, you know, when you start moving walls around, it can get complicated and expensive. So,
and the wall was just to cast like the picture for those of you guys who weren't following along when we were doing this, which we didn't share too much of the process because we were still filming at the time. And so you guys probably, you may have seen some of that on like an episode, but the wall was the wall that divided the kitchen and the living room. And so we essentially just like took that wall down.
Yeah,
and
it had a hideaway door in it too.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Two hideaway doors. So you could go in the kitchen, shut both hideaway doors, and you were in like
in
a
like
12
a
foot
box.
By 14 foot box with one little window.
Yeah.
Super weird.
Yeah. So, and it was so dark. All the cabinets were like that 70s brown wood and like the tiling was like nasty and like,
well, there was like eight layers
walls.
Of linoleum flooring.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, that was a big criteria. Jared was like,
we're taking this out. I wanted to take the whole both walls out because there's actually, you know, I want to take the back
walls
wall
on both sides,
back wall of the kitchen. And the side wall of the kitchen that separated it from the living room. But anyway, so that was a big thing. But we ended up going with the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of we hadn't decided if that wall was possible, but here at the farm, we use a team of brothers called the Loringers Construction, and they build a lot of stuff you see,
crazy
here, like
stuff,
everything
like
on
the
farm
pirate
here.
Ship.
So I knew when where there's a will, there's a way with them, and they can do anything. So we went ahead, trusting that that wall could come out and seeing the potential through the rest of the house. But yeah, so we bought the house. Yeah. How pregnant were you at this point?
I think it was like 7 months.
No, because exactly. It took way longer to do the first remodel than a month.
Yeah, well,
you were
we
like
moved
five,
in June.
You were like 5 months.
Because we moved in June. Timelines, babe. Timelines. Leave them to me.
I just don't...
Well, I don't remember exactly how many months that was. Actually, I just know we moved in June.
That actually impresses me then, because I got that much done in a month.
Well, June, July... We didn't move in until August. So June, July, August was really the first remodel.
Wow. Okay. So August, we started remodel. Yeah, and we did...
And we started in June. End of June. We got the keys like middle of June.
Yeah, I don't remember, but...
So we, for timeline purposes, we actually moved from Bend home in with my parents when I was pregnant while we were doing this home buying process.
Yeah.
That was first move. Then we moved all our stuff from Bend into our new house and let it just like sit there
sit
for a
in
while.
The garage, yeah. For like,
while we, like
2 months. Or it would be a month, yeah.
Yeah, while we were like getting contractors in place and like figuring out what we're gonna do ourselves and what we weren't gonna do ourselves.
Yeah,
and
tip number one.
Permits and
looking back, the amount of time and energy it would have saved me and us ultimately to have a general contractor, someone that was, you know, reaching out to all their contacts, finding the deals, managing the schedules, the process.
Yeah.
It would have cut our time in half.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we didn't know. I didn't know. I just thought, how hard could this be? So we went in.
Let's just try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
So what all did we do, babe? What did we end up doing?
Okay, yeah. The first thing that we did was take out the wall. You started doing that. Like,
yes.
You basically just started sledgehammering it. Like,
yep.
Demo day. That was the first thing we did.
Yep. Took out the wall.
Or you ripped it down to like the framing. And then we had.
Yeah, ripped it down to the framing. And then I went down
check
and.
Check it all. And
we
make
poured
sure it
these monster foundations down there.
Yeah. Jared was literally at night. Out in our driveway, mixing cement in our driveway, like at 11 p.m. at night. Yeah. And then like shining flashlights and like shop lights on him so that he could work like into the night, because we were just like trying to get our house livable before our baby came.
Yeah, I had like a shop light in the crawl space down
he's
there.
Like underneath the house and like,
yeah.
Oh, it was nuts.
But an engineer told me how big they needed to be and I tripled it. So,
so there.
Well, yeah, so there. I wasn't going to, no messing around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Loringers came and took the wall out and put the big support beam up. And then after that big kind of construction project was done,
then
we were able to move forward with drywalling, you know.
We ripped up all the old floor, all the tiling,
all the old floor,
not or linoleum, carpet, all the carpet,
yep.
Gross carpet on the stairs.
Yep.
Carpet in the living room. We ripped up all that.
Took out everything we didn't want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had to, when we took out that wall, we had to redo a lot of the electrical because there was a bunch of electrical in that wall. Remember?
Oh, yeah. So the electrician was there.
That was the process.
Yeah. And this is where our general manager would have just like a contractor would have helped, is because
finding those people is hard.
I'm seeing the wiring and then I'm thinking like, oh shoot, like if the electrician's going to be here, what else do we want wired?
Yeah.
If the drywall guy is going to be here, what else do we want to have drywalled? So this is where like
figuring out the steps in the order. Yeah.
For example, I just can't handle it when there's cords hanging behind a TV. It's just behind someone's desk, you know, like, I'm the guy that like puts masking tape and labels the cords and then zip ties them up. And, you know, you shouldn't be able to see any cords behind the desk or TV. So while the drywall guy was knowing he was going to come, you know, that's when I went behind where the TV was going to go and then installed a PVC piping, you know, into the wall.
This is Jared's OCD really kicking in.
So then we could slide all of the TV cables. We actually installed a power box behind the TV and then to where the, you know, like the TV console is going to go, is that's, there's like an exit port there. And so then you know, we can slide cables up and through the wall, through the PVC pipe.
Essentially, our TV looks like it's a picture frame on the wall. It's
yeah,
floating.
So our
there's
TV's
no
like floating on the wall and there's no cords. All the cords pop out of this little neat circle that's behind the media console. So, but this is why I say that. This is like, I guess, a tip number one. You know, the drywall guy was there and be really nice to your contractors. If you are really nice to them, you know, they'll do favors for you. So anyways, he was just there and just kind of threw in that drywall patching, kind of just like, oh yeah, I'm already here. All my stuff's laid out and it's not that much. I'll just throw it in real quick. And so that was, I remember, yeah, we did that. That was good. But
yeah, so that, well, what else was in the beginning stages? We also did we had to rip out all the cabinets. We ripped out all the countertops.
Yep.
All the cabinets.
Yep.
Well, not all the cabinets. We ripped out all the cabinets on that wall and then all the like overhang cabinets because that's not really our jam.
Yeah.
But we decided to keep all the lower cabinets because we were like, we'll just paint the cap. That was like a money saver thing for us budgeting wise. We're like, we don't really need new cabinets. We'll just paint that old ones.
Yeah.
And then we decided to, Jeremy made these like floating shelves for us. So instead of having upper cabinets, we had floating shelves for some storage space. And then we lost a lot of cabinet space
Jacob,
when we took out the wall too.
Yeah. My brother Jacob helped me subway tile the whole kitchen too. So the whole kitchen's like subway tiled and that's where the floating shelves go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we subway tiled the whole kitchen. Then this was like such a tricky process too, because we essentially, you had to like build that island. So we took out the wall and everything
there. That was the cabinets. So basically because we took out the wall.
So like you take out the wall, there's nothing there.
It was going to be a peninsula though.
Yeah. So we had to build that peninsula though.
Yep,
we
built the peninsula.
You had to like go, you went to Home Depot though and like tried to buy cabinets that match the existing cabinets and like, then they had to be level so you could lay the
which
counters.
Which was a problem. Here, do not undercut yourself on cabinets.
Yeah.
Like if there's one thing you want to work really well and be nice, that's your cabinets, because you're opening them
all
12
the time.
Times a day, you know, into the silverware drawer. And it's just, I tried to cut costs there. And looking back, I really shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're about to get to this.
Well, we'll get to that.
This is where this, you know,
we learned our lesson.
Let's just say there were some blessings with our second remodel, which blessings in disguise, let's say.
Yeah.
Because it allowed us to correct some mistakes the first time.
Yeah. So what else did we do? We did the
countertops. Yeah. We painted the whole house, top and down.
Yeah.
Ceiling. It literally wasn't just on a surface that wasn't painted.
So then we laid hardwood. We did all new hardwood
all
downstairs.
New hardwood.
New baseboards.
No, we didn't do baseboards up until this point.
Oh yeah, we kept our old baseboards for
a while. So then at this point, baseboards were done. The whole place was painted. Carpet in the one room was cleaned. So we were able to...
This is important. The stove oven.
Oh, yeah. So the kitchen was mostly...
Originally the oven.
All of that I just said was done. And then the kitchen was mostly done except the oven. The oven was not done, and that's because...
The bane of our existence was that freaking oven.
That was
tough. We went through two. We ordered one, came, realized it was wrong.
So we were going to do a downdraft because we didn't want a oven hood hanging over the peninsula.
That was half the reason.
Just so you know, every single oven, there's kind of a monopoly on ovens, and they're all owned by the same company. And because downdrafts are kind of rare, they make it the most expensive oven out there. So it's like electrical... 120 or 240, I think, whatever it is, conventional baking, you know, conventional oven, but then it's a gas stovetop and it's just a really nice KitchenAid oven, but that's the only one out there that's downdraft. So we had to have gas installed and electric
capability.
Yeah. So that was tough and we had to go through like two ovens.
Our initial oven before had the hood and everything and it was electric. And so then you basically got rid of the electric because we're like, oh, we're just going to go to gas.
Yeah.
So we just were like, oh, we'll get the gas oven, gas stove. Well, they don't make gas stove.
We
it has
used,
to be dual flame.
We didn't get rid of that electricity. We used it for all the can lights. That's another thing we didn't say. We used that we put in 12 can lights.
Yeah, because there was no ceiling light in our entire house. It was so dark.
Yeah. So anyways, at this point, the oven was the only thing that wasn't working, and we moved out of Audrey's parents and into our house. And this is when we kind of started, you know, unpacking our boxes and getting our room set up and all that.
Trying and then, to nest when it's still not totally finished.
Yeah, and Audrey was, you're pretty far along at this point.
Yeah, well, we moved in. So we, did we have everything done when we moved in? We had, I feel like there was, besides the oven, that was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Whole everything was painted. The cabinets were painted.
Cabinets weren't painted. Nope. We still needed them painted.
But then we weren't living there and the cabinets painted because that was like smelly. The
cabinets were not painted. Nope. And then we woke up one day and I realized, this floor, the floor in the kitchen looks kind of a shade darker.
Oh, no. You're way skipping ahead. You're way skipping ahead.
No, I don't think I am. Why?
Yeah, because we haven't, then we had Ember. Big plot in the story.
Oh.
We moved in 2 weeks before Ember was born. Right? Or no, we moved in 2 weeks before Ember's due date. So we moved in. Then we started like, okay, we need furniture. We need to like, let's get the crib. Let's get the dresser. Let's like make a nursery in 2 weeks.
Frantic nursery preparation. Yep.
Let's set up our bed. Let's do all of that stuff. So we were trying to do that. And then by the grace of Jesus, I was 11 days late. And I think that the Lord blessed me with that extra time for other reasons too, but also just to be able to like be in our space for a little bit longer and like feel a sense of calm and nesting and settling in. So then Ember was born, hooray. And then it wasn't until she was like a month old, because I remember it was pumpkin season.
Yeah, she was like
so
a month
October.
Old. Yeah, and all this time I was kind of noticing something like, oh, that's kind of weird. Maybe the wood's just like settling in or something.
Okay, go back to what you're saying. Yeah, so yeah. Ember's born, month old, it's pumpkin season.
And then I woke up and, you know, just really realized like, you know what, this isn't right. This is totally not right. So then I started poking around the baseboards and stuff, and I lifted up the flange underneath the dishwasher and I noticed water was under there and I'm like, oh no. And then I realized this is water damage. And
well, because we thought like, why is our wood turning colors? We thought something was wrong with our wood.
Yeah,
because
we got a discount on this wood because it was, anyways, that's
clearance wood.
Clearance wood somewhere, and there was a bad batch somewhere, but they didn't know which one. And so I took a chance on buying it. Ours was a good batch. Thankfully, I actually bought 600 feet extra. If I didn't buy that 600 feet extra, we would have had to redo the entire bottom story.
And we bought it because we were like, well, maybe we'll redo our laundry room floor or something.
Yeah.
We'll just get it because it was on discount. Yeah.
So if I didn't have that extra wood, this would have been a lot bigger problem. But anyways, so then I had the Kennedy restoration come out and you guys got water damage. So they set up a big tent. We had to move back out of our house.
Okay, hold on. Jeremy does this thing where he like undermines the problem. Like this is, oh yeah, yep. They came, you have water damage, no problem. Okay, no, this was like, we're living in our house. We're finally setting in. Most things are done. We have a 1 month old. I've had mastitis 3 times at this point. We're like, it's hard. Like breastfeeding is hard. We're sleep deprived. There's like lots of, it's a tough time in our lives, right?
Yep,
like
yep.
This is, we're new parents.
No doubt.
And it's pumpkin season. So Jeremy's like been gone every weekend, like working and helping his dad. And we're filming. So we had like a lot of commitments and stuff to do there. And so there was just like a lot of craziness going on. And then they tell us like, oh yeah, you have mold essentially.
Okay. Yeah. Now I remember this. This was not
in,
good.
Underneath your house in the cabinets. And the guy that came to tell us our problem was way more like clear cut about it. Jeremy was trying to like make me feel good. Like, oh, it's going to be no big deal. But he's like, oh yeah, you got to rip out all your cabinets. You can't keep those cabinets. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. We have to do everything then. Because if we have to rip out the cabinets, we have to take out the countertops again. Take out the countertops, it's going to ruin like some of Jared and Jacob's subway tile that they worked so hard on. And like,
yeah,
just every, like we had to redo the floor, all of it.
This is one of those times where like we were definitely reminded, you know, circumstances don't define who you are. Mm-hmm. They just bring out who you are.
Okay. In this moment, though, who I was not my normal self. Hormones raging, like, this was like...
That's not what I said. I'm just making a point. It was definitely one of those things that reminded us, you know, like, how you deal with a circumstance definitely reflects your character more than the circumstance defines who you are. And we were put to the test here. This was really, really tough. And no matter how many excuses someone might have, you know, no matter how many excuses you might have for hormones and this and that, this was definitely one of those times you can't deny that we were, our character was tested.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we, I remember thinking too, like, we are, you know, this 1 month old, like, I was so just, it was my body.
We also went, like, our marriage, we went into, like, defense mode here against the circumstance, I remember. Like, we were okay, but we definitely were, like, short with one another. We were just trying to get through it. It was kind of one of those things you buckle down, lock the hatches, you know, and get through it, get through the circumstance.
Yeah. And I think, too, for me, it was like, oh, like, we're finally in this space in our home, like, with our new baby. And then it was like, whoa, we got to move out again with a new baby. And then, like, but, like, I'm so thankful that our parents live close and that we were able to move in with my parents and live there.
Yeah, so thankful.
I can't imagine having to, like, move out somewhere else with a newborn baby and, like, rent a hotel or something. So I'm so thankful for that. But it was also kind of like, we're not going to have our own space now. Like, I'm up literally all night and, like, Ember's going to be crying. We're living with my family. And, like, you know, you can imagine, like, the things that
we... I feel like I've almost blocked that out. Like, I don't even remember.
Yeah, you do. You do block it out. You forget. Oh, such a nine thing. Sorry.
Like, I don't even remember that.
But, yeah, anyways, that was, like, just really just hard. And like, having to bring all the baby stuff out, like, then moving into, like, this room in my parents' house and having, like, our bassinet and the swing.
Our car was, like,
the diaper. Like,
season three of Hoarders.
Yeah, it was, like, just moving all that out and, like, not having our... We would take trips to the house to, like, find things, like, that we needed, baby things or pump parts whatever it was.
It was tough, no doubt.
Yeah. So, anyways, that happened. It took how long? And they had to rip...
So Kennedy came in, back to my part of the story. Yeah, Kennedy came in with a tent, set up shop, and next thing you know, there's saws, they're ripping out the floor.
They had that big thing blowing.
They're bringing in the dryers, and they're drying the house, and that went for 4 or 5 days, maybe a week, you know.
Stinky.
Yeah, super smelly. It was just a bummer. And then thankfully, the countertop folks, Crowley's, yeah, they were able to successfully remove our countertops because we bought nice countertops without cracking them.
Oh, yeah, that was also a huge...
Because they glue them together, and if they don't break that seam perfectly, you got to get new countertops because they just break them.
Yeah.
And so they were able to remove them successfully.
Yeah.
And that was a good job. And so at this point, I was like, okay, I'm just going to do this really nice now.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing we still had to paint our cabinets...
Now our cabinets are ruined.
We had to paint them. Yeah, they were.
Wet and moldy. We had to take... Remember, he said we had to get new ones.
We had to get new ones anyway. And so this is when we're like, okay, no more cutting corners at this point. Let's just get nice
cabinets.
Let's just get nice cabinets. Yeah, so we got nice ones. The hardwood guy... Okay, so it all got taken care of. It was dry.
There's so many pieces.
Yeah, the inspector came. He tested it. Good to go. You can start rebuilding.
Uh-huh.
And so then the hardwood guy came. We relaid hardwood.
Leftover hardwood.
And then the cabinets came. And then the countertops came back to do the countertops. And then a tile guy came to replace the bottom layer of tile that they had to get rid of.
Hold on though. This is like now November. We're getting into the holidays. I remember we went to the cabinet place to look at cabinets.
Yeah.
And
it's like Christmas decorations everywhere.
Yeah. And they're like, the cabinet place is like, oh, well, yeah, like 6 to 8 weeks if you want to get cabinets. And we
were
like,
if you want to get custom cabinets,
which is
what we wanted.
Or you have custom cabinets, or you have two options. These dark brown walnut laminate ones or the white laminate ones, remember?
Yeah. And
we only had two options.
We went with the white ones and we actually liked them a lot.
They're great.
What made them look really nice was the handles we put on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were nice, babe. They were nice.
I know. No, they're totally nice. I'm just saying, like, those were our two options and we couldn't do the... Remember, we couldn't ever paint them because they're like linoleum, or they're not linoleum. What is it?
You
can't paint them.
You can't paint them because they're wrapped.
Yeah.
They're plastic wrapped.
But they're supposed to be better for, like, water.
Yeah, they're really nice. You can clean anything off them, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, we got the place put together, but we still didn't have a stove.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so then we hit the electrician came, and that took 2-3 weeks just to get that dang stove figured out.
Well, we got one stove that came, and then we had to return it.
Because it didn't have the electrical piece we needed yet.
Yeah. Then we got the second stove.
Yep.
And we had the gas company come out. And yeah, because remember the gas company's like, dude, we can't do your oven. We're trying to just get people heat right now.
Yeah.
Remember, it was like November and
yeah.
He's like, why are you calling me about this? Call me in 3 months.
Yeah.
So many things. Oh my gosh.
So many pieces. And all the while, again, like we're just kind of in survival mode. You know, we were definitely in a season of like I said, arms up, shields up. Let's just get through this circumstance that's super, super tough. And
remember, it's not just this. It's like new parents.
Yeah, new parents.
Also starting to write our book at this point.
Oh, yeah. Like, we were starting. We were talking to Zondervan.
Yeah. We were filming. It was pumpkin season.
They wanted to know everything about it. It was tough. Pumpkin season.
Yeah. I mean, it was just crazy. Mastitis like, over and over. I have a fever all the time. Horrible.
I remember the journals, too, went on back order for like a week. At this
there was
point,
business stuff. We were trying to keep afloat.
Yeah, it was a tough season. That was definitely a tough season.
Okay, all this to say, here's some things that we learned the hard way. Darren and I made a quick little bullet point list. but things that we learned the hard way from 2 renovations in 6 months. Number one, check your dishwasher and fridge supply line.
Yes, and what she means by that is, we decided to, you know, save a little money. Like, you know what? We don't need new appliances. These old ones work. Let's just leave them in. You know, it's okay. Like, I don't know. We were trying to be financially responsible, right? Like, we were trying to find the balance.
And stay in our budget.
Yeah, and staying within our budget. Looking back, we should have either A, turned off the water, B, had all water supply lines for anything and everything tested after.
Checked.
Or B, just got new appliances. Like, right, they were old. We should have done that in the first place.
And a dishwasher,
so
like pretty cheap.
The entire leak was caused because when we were installing the countertops and uninstalling them, when we installed the countertops, they need to get under to squirt some glue to like, you know, attach them all. And in the process of installing the countertops, we nudged the dishwasher like 2 inches left and then 2 inches right to do the other side. And then we like
in the sink.
We pushed it back like an inch to like just get in there enough to squirt some glue, you know. And those minute inch by inch movements.
We moved
the threads just enough to loosen them because it was a hard line. This wasn't no braided steel line. It was a hard water line, copper water line. And then it just started dripping. Drip, 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 drip. And that right there is what caused the whole problem.
Hence remodel number two.
And then that's what caused. So check your supply lines.
We also have a friend that this happened to too with their fridge.
They were on vacation.
They were on vacation. Their fridge supply line was loose and
floors
ruined. Okay. Other thing, keep your countertop remnants.
So
a
lot of people don't know this, but if you buy countertops, you know, they cut your countertops out and there's usually pieces left over.
Because they cut it from like a giant slab.
They cut it from a giant slab and they just keep that and they use it for other projects and they sell it at a discount price or whatever. But you bought the slab, so you can request to keep that countertop piece. We were going to do this, but with everything going on, I just forgot to go pick ours up, but we were going to use it for like a bathroom or to build a little wet bar at some point or, you know, just to use it for something neat. And it's easy to store. You just lean it up against the wall in the garage or something, but put it behind something. Anyways, that's a tip. Yeah. But reason we say we learned it the hard way is because we didn't do it. And now we're looking to build a little wet bar pantry area and we need to go buy new countertops or something.
Yeah. So. And then the final thing I would say is just like, do it right, do it once.
Yeah. Do it right, do it once. Like, know your limitations. I think
there was too much put on Jeremy.
There was a lot put on me and I overstretched given the circumstances. I definitely overstretched my abilities. When at the end of the day, we should have just hired someone to do some stuff. That was something we learned. Like it. Yeah.
A couple other things that we thought it'd be fun to talk about on here. Things that we still have to do because as with all homes and people that do home renovation projects, it's like you're never really done, right? Yeah, so you might be thinking like, well, what's your house like now? We were at pumpkin season this year and a bunch of people just kept asking us, what's your house like?
Because they watched
the episode
done?
And they never saw like the ending. And so, yes, like now our house is like pretty much done, although you never think it's actually finished. We still have yet to paint the cabinets underneath of the sink.
The sink, yeah. We're going to have someone come do that soon.
And there's another cabinet. There's a couple other cabinets we still haven't painted. And then we still haven't furnished one of our main living spaces yet. And we still haven't put the new cabinets on the upper cabinets that we did keep to match our bottom ones.
So a couple loose ends with the cabinets. Our house is pretty, I mean, we've gotten some compliments on it lately, having people over, and it's just the best. Like, when your vision comes to fruition, you know, it's nice. Like, we want our house to feel cozy. We want it to be clean.
Inviting.
We're not minimalists by any means, but we definitely believe in the decluttering lifestyle. Less is more. I'd rather have one thing I use all the time on the desk instead of like four things that just look trinkety.
Yes.
And we want it to be cozy. And we also try to stick with a color palette. Like, we're very kind of
wood, leather,
neutral, white, wood, leather, green, brown. Yeah, this is the whole like grays. Got a lot of gray. And then like, I think right now we're on kind of like a purple rose kick, like for our pillows, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have some accent things, but mostly neutrals. But yeah, I mean, Jer and I are we're pretty nostalgic people. I'd say we're pretty creative people. And a lot of that like comes to life in our home. Like, we have like some key nostalgic pieces or like things in our house that like have purpose and intention and like tell a story.
Yeah.
But then like things that don't do that, we don't really have them out.
Most things in our house you can look at and ask about
for it being there.
And we can tell you a story about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, and if we don't have something, we just don't put it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just totally. Like, we're okay having a desk or a corner or something with nothing on it.
Yeah. I think that's a one thing too. Like, for me, I love clean countertops. Like, that's such a thing for me. Like, if I'm going to have a decoration, it's not going to be on the countertop or on the table. It's going to be on a wall or like in a cubby or I just like clean countertops. Like, I'm not like, you know, the signs that people put all over their kitchen, like on the countertop up against the wall. Like, I just, you know, I just like clean countertops. I guess a couple things that that have just like helped us in like the home design process is we really like fake plants. In the beginning, Jeremy was really into real plants in our house and he wanted to be Mr. Gardener, and then they would just all die all the time.
No, so, they wouldn't all die, but I just realized like,
it's so hard to keep them alive.
It's just a lot of work and energy.
And if you travel.
Like, yeah, and we travel enough to where it's like difficult. And then also we have a lot of fires. This is another thing I realized. When you have a lot of fires, like we have one every single night
in the winter.
In the winter. It dries them out. Yeah. And then you were overwatering them. And then it's hard. It's tough. Mm-hmm. And like, you got to move them and like rotate them for the light. We have two real plants in our house right now that I literally haven't touched or watered in 4 months, and they're just thriving. So those are good ones. We'll keep those around. But everything else is fake.
Another thing is mirrors to reflect light. Our house doesn't get like a ton of light. Oh, we didn't say this, but we did. We took down that giant tree, the tree that was like leaning up against our house. We took that down, so we did get a lot more light in the windows after that. But also, just adding more mirrors to reflect light. And then also, Jeremy is a big fan of indirect lighting, so just having like, you want to explain that, babe?
Yeah. So we're big, like, you got to have multiple light sources, right? So, you know, we've got the first gift I ever gave Audrey is a lantern that I converted. We tell this whole story in our book, actually, but I converted it into like a lamp. And so that sits in our entryway, but it's indirect lighting because you can't see the bulb. So it's just this nice, beautiful glow. And then we got, you know, some stuff in the corner. Even the can lights are nice because they're indirect lighting. And so those are on dimmers, you know, but we're big ambiance folks. Mm-hmm. So, you know. And you know, a big part of ambiance is light, I feel, personally. So, like, when we have our campfire, we have our fire going, you know, that's the center point of the room or the mm-hmm. conversation. And then, but the whole house kind of has like pools of light. And
lamps shining on walls.
Yeah.
Instead of like at you or like just in, like
indirect, indirect lighting. Yeah. That's, yeah. that's kind of a big, big thing for us.
Other like design things or just things that like we did in the home renovation and like setting up our first home process. Of course, Jeremy already talked about like getting rid of all the cords behind the TV.
Yeah,
dimmers was a big thing, putting dimmers on all of our light switches. Clean countertops, we already talked about that. Also, we put oil diffusers in every single room so that they smell nice.
Yeah.
And that's also another source of lighting or can be.
Yeah, people love that because not a person.
Makes our house smell super cozy.
Yeah, and people always call
like I'm always baking apple pie, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Also, one thing, if you have a cat, we bought this storage box litter container thing that's yes, brilliant.
This is good.
So it contains the cat food in the litter everywhere and keeps the smell from getting out. Oh, you got to talk about your gold handle trash pull.
Oh, something people really enjoy is like, yeah, so in the kitchen, you know, all our handles are black, but everyone's always asking, where's the trash? Where's the trash? Where's the trash? And so I bought, it's the exact same style handle, but it's just gold. It's just a different color. So we could just say, yeah, gold handle. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh my goodness, I love that. And people pull it out and they, you know, it looks,
like,
we contemplated
why
doing
is this
it.
One gold?
Yeah. We contemplated doing it for the silverware drawer too, because people are always looking for that, but. It just looked a little much.
Yeah. The trash one's lower.
So that's a little detail. That's just fun.
Not it's just really a fun thing.
Style tip, but yeah.
And then we have tons of blankets, like lots of blankets, pillows, throws, like that kind of stuff just to make it feel cozy.
Yeah.
So those are just some things.
Yeah.
Just quick little design tips. And then a couple things we did wrong design wise, like with once we realized, because we're new parents and are learning. But like things to consider if you're about to have a baby or you do have kids, where the high chair goes, like the first 6 months, you know, Ember wasn't really in a high chair. She wasn't eating solid foods. And then we got the high chair and we're like, well, where's this going to go? Cause like we did baby led weaning and she was a mess and she's throwing food all over our white walls and on the carpet and like our bookshelves. And so we had to like decide like where the high chair was going to go and make a space for that.
Yeah. And then we put it on like a carpet and then we realized.
Then we bought a white carpet to put underneath our kitchen table, which is a major no.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
lasted about 2 months.
Yep.
So that was not good. But another thing I'm really glad that we did was when we did remodel number two, we did drawers in the cabinet or like in the lower cabinets. And I feel like that is a little better for kiddos because with cabinets, they can open them and literally pull everything out. But with drawers, they can't reach in, at least to the higher ones. They can only reach in like the bottom drawer, you know?
Yeah.
Plus drawers are just nice. We love them. And then another thing is round coffee tables because kids are playing.
Oh, yeah.
We had this really sharp edged glass top coffee
table.
Well,
we still have it.
Your
it's my,
chip door
I've
thing.
Had it forever. It's kind of a family heirloom at this point. But
yeah.
Yeah, so it's nice, but. We switched to the round one, and that gave us a lot more space, too. It was safer for baby. It gave us a lot of space. Yeah.
And then really, like, we didn't, like, baby-proof our house, really. We didn't, like, do a bunch of stuff, like, to cater to her. We did put a gate at the top of the stairs because we live in a two-story. But one thing that we did before we slept our first night in our house, this doesn't really have to do with home renovation and it doesn't have to do with home design or anything, but we walked through every single room in our house and we prayed over every room.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just feel like that was like a really like special.
It's super special and it matters. It really does.
Yeah,
it's inviting.
You don't know who lived in the house before
yeah,
you. And
it's inviting the Holy Spirit to fill your house. And I think that's really, really important to do. And mm-hmm. people have told us they feel really good in our house. And we can't attribute that to anything or
but
anyone.
We did pray for that.
Except, yeah, the Lord. So like, you know, in the entryway, we prayed that like, you know, that anyone that enters this house, you know,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah. And like in the bedrooms, like for our dreams and as Ember sleeps and as we sleep, that you fill our minds and our souls and, you know, the kitchen, right, over the meals that we eat and mm-hmm. the people that we eat with and over the living room, our time spent. Anyways, you get the idea, yeah. but we went through every...
Even the laundry room and the bathrooms
room.
We prayed over.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
So That's a really,
I think it also just helped us like live more intentionally in the space too, you know?
Totally. Yeah. So just blesses the home.
Just an idea for you if you're moving into a new home, maybe you're not renovating, you know, but just for anyone moving into a new space, just something
to consider. Cause we did that even when we rented in LA and in Bend. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So babe, like what would you say like the four takeaways?
Yeah. Four takeaways to wrap this one up. Have a budget. You got to have a budget, but also you need to, you know, prepare for the slight over budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
And don't go into debt. Like nobody should go into debt doing a remodel.
Yeah.
That's just you're being excessive.
And
I
don't
feel.
Start a remodel if you're in debt.
Yeah. And don't start a remodel if you're in debt outside of kind of the home itself. Cause with the American market, you know, it's really, 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 even Dave Ramsey would say it's really difficult to buy a house, you know, without going in debt. But if you are outside of the house, you know, remodel might not be the best option. And that's our personal opinion. But second big thing is be nice to your contractors. It is amazing how much better they'll work for you. And just the little things they do that, you know, they don't need to if you're nice to them.
Bake them cookies and talk to them about their lives. Ask them about their kids. Like,
yeah, like we had contractors staying. You know? Like I remember actually with one of them, you know, I sat in the garage afterwards and we cracked a beer. And we got to know one another because he felt comfortable, you know. And also as Christ followers, like, I don't know. It's a good opportunity and people should want to be working for you based on your demeanor and your attitude. And we feel like also who you are fills the spirit of your home as well. And so if you're praying and inviting the spirit into your home, but also into you, you know, you're carrying that and it's just people like being around it. So like the drywall guy, for example, he didn't have to patch the wall behind the TV, but he did that for almost zero cost just because he was there as a favor and we were almost friends at that point. But three, get all your permits squared away and up to date. There will be nothing worse than having to revisit an old permit issue years down the line when you try to sell or something. And don't be ignorant. There are permits that you got to do and just be aware of them. Let's see, what else, babe?
The next one is be realistic about your timeline. Just like setting clear expectations, I think, from the beginning of when you're going to move in is super, super helpful. I think we have a lot of friends that live in the Portland area and have bought homes and done home renovations. And almost all of them, like, I remember just like in group texts, like, when's your move-in date? Like, almost all of them like have said that they were going to move in or had planned to move in about a month earlier. And so for us, it was like the same thing both times. We were like, oh yeah, we're going to be in by this date. And then it was like a month later. So I think just like setting clear expectations and like being realistic about like when you're actually going to move in so that you don't get frustrated and live in this angst every day over that day, you know?
Yeah. So last thing, what helped us, I think, like I said, we were in kind of survival mode at that point. And when you're in survival mode, you cannot forget to not communicate. For us, communication, it doesn't need to be happy. It just needs to be done. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even need to be this joyous, like, oh, we're having so much fun communicating, but it has to be something you do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for us, our marriage journal that we do every Sunday was huge.
Getting us through that.
We were able to ask each other, you know, what was hard? Okay, get this off your chest. Let's talk about it. Was I really rude? What do we need to seek? Forget. Anyways, it was huge.
New parents and doing a remodel.
As new parents, remodel, and just huge. It helped us communicate. It was really awesome. And then lastly, and probably most importantly,
yes,
just remind each other you're on the same team. You both want the same thing. And so things are going to go wrong. Things are going to get in your way. Things are just going to come up. And reminding each other that you're on the same team. You both want to score on the same goal. You know, that was huge, huge for us. So, and just holding hands, like when you're fighting, because you're on the same team, because you want the same goal, the same outcome, just hold hands. Like, it's amazing how that'll diffuse your heart.
Yeah.
Diffuse your temper. It's like throwing water on fire. Mm-hmm. It really is. It just simmers it down a little bit. Like, wow, okay, we're on the same team here. Mm-hmm. We both want this to get done. So now let's talk about how it's going to happen instead of venting that frustration to each other.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
That is our home remodel recap.
Home reno, home design, first and second time around.
All right, babe. Time to wrap up. What is your rose and thorn for the week?
My rose is, well, I guess I have two roses. My first rose is getting a massage because I literally felt like a brand new human. It was amazing. I always underestimate massages. But my other rose is just watching Ember carry her dolls around the house everywhere because she just always wants to be holding them and gives them kisses every 10 seconds. And it's just the cutest thing.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It always makes me smile. So those are my roses. And my thorn is that our Sunday was full of bickering and we just didn't really get to do exactly what we wanted to do on Sunday, or just it wasn't as, I don't know how you
want
to say it.
Pleasant as we wanted it to be.
We just like started off the day bickering. Jeez, and that
babe,
was just like
real here.
That was just, I don't know. And it's always kind of a bummer because Sunday is such a like sacred special day and like just good for us to like rest and connect. And
we're off our phones on Sunday. It's kind of, it's our Sabbath, you know, it's just a day where we try to recharge and give it to the Lord.
So that kind of bummed me out, but we ended the day with a campfire, or with a fire in our house.
Yeah.
Turn things around. Still, I would have wished that we wouldn't have been bickering as much all day. Anyways, what's your rose and thorn?
Well, yeah, it's a good point. I got a couple roses. When I come home from the gym in the morning, or I walk in from the garage from reading, and Ember goes, da-da, da-da, da-da. That's just so good. So that's a rose. Honestly, my time in the morning has been a rose. I've ridden my bike to the gym, and it's just beautiful fall foggy mornings, and I have my coffee, and I'm just cruising to the gym, and there's no cars even. That's such a good ride. So that's been a rose for me.
Good.
And then
the thorn.
The thorn is probably Sunday as well. Like, I had high expectations for Sunday, and we were going to do like a 40 minute drive up to this, past this place called Vernonia. It's this place up in the hills where we live. And there's this like house I wanted to go see there. I saw it on Redfin a couple days earlier, and it was just like the drive, the cider, I had it all planned in my head. And then just as Audrey said, our Sunday was not
some things the most pleasant for a loop, and maybe for another podcast.
Yeah. We'll so I was bummed about that. That was kind of a bummer, but those are my roses and thorns. All right. So I think that's good for today, babe. We'll wrap it up with the roses and thorns there, but hey guys, we're just getting started here. So if you enjoyed this, we would really appreciate a share. Share it on social media. Give it a like on iTunes. I hear the reviews are really good for podcasts. People say it's all in the reviews. So I'm supposed to say that, I think. But yeah, we'd really appreciate some love. Like I said, we're getting started. And the thumbs up, the like, the review, those help a lot. So thanks.
Thank you guys so much for listening.